And now, Confessions with Eric Bailey.
And I have a confession this week. I am going to show you something. I'm going to tell you about it. Not every retro gamer is going to like what I have to say. It's kind of a sore spot among some people. As much as I always advocate the authentic console experience, I do believe in the value of having a USB controller. USB controller port probably being the ideal, but I did cave and I went ahead and got one of those knockoff USB Super Nintendo controllers. Welcome to episode 63 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am finalizing the adoption paperwork, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am backed by popular demand.
Nice.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I am related to Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel Sanders?
From the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
Not from Alberta Fried Walrus.
No.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes. Yes. I know the secret recipe.
No, you don't. What?
Seven herbs and spices.
I do. There's a secret ingredient.
You realize we're talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken, right?
Yeah.
Not Ontario boiled whale blubber. They're two different restaurant chains.
I know. I have American heritage, sadly.
Sadly.
I have American heritage. Month, recognition, education,
and days of the week.
We are digging in early this episode.
Ooh. Digging in early.
Ooh. Digging it.
Shovel, sharpened, shiny something. What are you doing?
You're a shiny something.
Yes. So, Jason, can I get his autograph?
He's dead.
Oh.
Well, just lift up his limp, riddle, dead hand and make him write the autograph. It'll be easier that way. What's easier than taking candy from a baby? Taking candy from a corpse. You heard it here first, folks.
Well, I mean, the digging up's got to be pretty difficult.
You know, hire someone to do that, Hunter. Who cares?
I'm just saying. I still think taking candy from a baby is a lot easier. There's babies everywhere.
It's true.
Many of them do have candy. I'm sure there's babies in Canada, right?
I sure hope so.
Is that a thing? I don't know.
Babies?
In Canada.
Well, kind of. It involves some type of seal. It's a long story.
On the foot? They got a seal on the foot?
Yeah.
Raised in Canada?
Well, we actually let the seals raise our children for the first 3 years. Toughens them up. And then we take them back.
You razor your children?
No. We let the seals raise our children.
Oh.
For the first 3 years of our life. Then we take it back during our annual seal clubbing adventures.
Oh, wow. You just went there.
Is that like where the music's really loud and everybody's like...
Yeah, there's a lot of ecstasy.
Okay. I've been to those seal clubs before.
Yeah. Or.
Yeah. It's too much. It's way too much.
Seal clubbing.
Got to do a lot of drugs to walk in there.
Oh, so. I miss Hunter so much. He's so funny. With the seal clubbing. Have you guys played any old video games lately? Because it is what the podcast is supposed to be about, at least on the surface.
What have you played, Hunter?
I have played the ultimate retro game this past weekend. Super Mario World is what I've been playing.
Nice.
Excellent choice.
Thank you. I did a little faux pas because when I was on vacation last weekend, I actually brought my Sony PSP that I had modded and had played Super Mario World on that. So that was kind of interesting, playing a Nintendo game on a Sony platform.
That's not a faux pas. That's blasphemy.
Is that blasphemy? Okay. My DS isn't modded, so
it's, can't.
I'd like to work on that. I'd probably do that. So, man, I played Super Mario World so many times that, you know, I practically know the game like the back of my hand. Know where all the hidden secrets are, where all the question mark boxes are. But having to retrain myself to do the running and jumping, because it feels so much different than it does like in the old NES Mario Brothers titles. Yeah.
Yep.
But I will say that it's one of those things, like, you know, like book readers, people who read books, which is just crazy nonsense. I don't know why you would ever do that. But there's always that one book that you can read that just kind of like feels like home. You know what's going to happen. You know every word, everybody's name and all that stuff. Like Super Mario World is that game to me. Like I can still remember when we got the Super NES for Christmas and like waiting impatiently for my dad to hook it up because I was too young to touch the TV and like just waiting for him to hook it up, finally hooking it up and then having to wait a half an hour until my brother got done playing so I could play it. Like that, I mean, it just brings back so many memories, and there's very few games that do that for me, and Super Mario World is definitely one of them.
Good call. That's...
And the cape is way cooler than the raccoon feather.
Well, it's not that much cooler.
Oh, come on. Come on. I can float in the air with the cape constantly.
Princess Toadstool could do that with a dress in Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, but she can't go the whole level.
Oh, yeah, not nearly as much as the cape. The whole dive bombing mechanic, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
That is what pushes it above the raccoon, too.
There you go. Plus, I mean, if you have the P-Wing, I mean, that...
Yeah.
But those are few and far between, and then... But then again, you get a whole slew of them once you beat the game. And you restart it again, you get a whole slew of P-Wings. But it's still not as cool as the cape.
Because the pape...
It's not as cool.
The cape makes Mario a superhero, you know? Like, it's just that simple iconography, that statement it makes that, you know what? Yeah, I'm a superhero. Get over it.
Yeah, and who doesn't want to be a superhero? I mean,
not Mario. He wants to, and he did it. You can do whatever you set your mind to if you're Mario.
There you go.
Not if you're some average.
The cape is what does it, man.
Yeah.
The cape is what does it.
Jason, you play any games with capes?
I didn't.
All right, Bailey. Play any games?
No, I didn't, actually. So.
Did you play any games, Bailey?
Not any retro games. It was one of those weeks.
Oh, come on.
I know. Well, no. Here's my thinking. This is actually... I had this actual intentional thought at some point this week. I thought, since Hunter missed last week... I will bite a bullet for the team and not play any retro games this week and let Hunter talk twice as much.
Cheers to that.
So,
well, that's weird.
It's the Hunter show.
I mean, I've played other ones, so we can keep going. Well,
about another one. Yeah, about another one. Absolutely.
So, you know, on iamericm.com, it's Mega Man month. November is the month of Mega Man. So, or anti-Jason Lamb month. We can play it that way. And, which I actually thought about getting a picture of you and putting, like, the little circle with the X through it. Like, up in the corner. I was like, I may not know Jason Lamb in a couple of months, so nobody would get the joke.
There we go. Dick.
Wow. So, anyway, I picked up. I didn't pick up anything. I downloaded Rockman 4 minus Infinity, which is a ROM hack of Mega Man 4. Now, there's two different kinds of ROM hacks. There are the ROM hacks that make the game so impossible that it's barely playable, or they change the sprites so everybody's naked and running around with their things hanging out.
Those are the two types, yeah.
Those are the two types, for
That's
the most
good
part.
Rundown.
Rockman 4 minus Infinity is a whole other beast. So it's a one-man project. The guy put 4 years into it.
Oh.
He completely redesigned every single level, the music, the boss movesets. He created new characters. He brought in Mega Man sprites from older Mega Man games like Mega Man 1, Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3. There's alternate paths, alternate branching paths you can take. The weapon, so the weapon enhancements are kind of are some of the neatest stuff. So he completely revamped the weapon system. So you still have your 8 typical robot masters, but the weapons that you get from them are completely different than what you're used to from Mega Man 4.
What?
One of the coolest weapon enhancements that he changed was actually Dustman's. So now, rather than getting like this weird, I'm trying to remember, I think it was just like a ball of junk and he kind of threw it at you. Anyway, now it's what's called the Recycler, which means you can suck an enemy in and turn it into an item.
That's cool.
Weird.
So like you can suck in like the Met. So like the Met's the little robot guy with the yellow hat with the cross on it, and he shoots pellets at you. You can suck him in and turn him into an energy tank.
How did we figure out how to program this and redo that and code that?
Man, I have no idea. There's no password system. It creates its own save file.
What?
Yeah. I played through it all last week and all this week, and I finally got done with it and uploaded everything and got the review done. And I actually tried to go back and play Mega Man 4, like the original Mega Man 4.
Yeah.
It doesn't even hold a candle to this ROM hack.
Oh, come on.
It is. No, I'm not even kidding.
A match?
Not, maybe like one of those really big Maglite flashlights that you get.
Yeah,
that's got like 1,000 D batteries in it.
Yeah.
And there's no D batteries.
Ooh, no D.
You could hold that to it. Like, I mean, those things are heavy, so, I mean, you can knock somebody out with it.
But, oh, yeah.
You know, it's not shining any light on anything. Highly recommended. Amazing game. It really is one of the best ROM hacks I've ever played.
Rockman 4 minus infinity.
So cool.
This guy put 4 years of work into that.
Right, yeah. It's just one guy. He's Japanese. He did a couple of other ROM hacks. The only one I can think of off the top of my head was Kirby's Adventure for the NES.
Oh, that's got to be a good one.
Yeah, so he kind of did the same thing. He kept all the core mechanics, you know, that is in the game, but then he revamped all the level designs. He changed a ton of the characters, or a ton of the enemies. He changed all the enemy movesets so they don't react the same way that you would expect them to.
Oh.
It's basically a brand new game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But how much is he charging for these?
Well, so it's a ROM hack, so you have to go through the effort of, okay, so legally you have to own a hard copy of the game. So you have to buy Rockman 4 for the Famicom. Then you're legally allowed to download a software ROM copy. You have to download his patch, get a patching program, patch the ROM, and then you just play it through an emulator. Or, if you're cool like me, you can play it on your power pack. That's what I did. So you're playing on the original hardware, so it feels like a more legit NES title.
But does he get any money for that?
No, it's just a fan project that he's been doing on the side.
Poor guy. Man.
Yeah.
You know what the saddest thing about that is? He goes
Nothing?
Through all that work, and Jason still hates Mega Man.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Screw Mega Man.
Unbelievable. Like, I want to get these two guys in a room.
I just punch them.
Watch them duke it out.
I would just punch them.
Mega Man style.
They're like, no.
Oh, so here, let me tell you about this one stage. So, and I'll be done with this and we can move on. So, again, so there are gimmicks in the game. So, not only did he change the level design, but he added like a little kind of quirky, gimmicky things. So, in Pharaoh Man stage, Mega Man acts like he's like infected with a virus. So, one screen, your controls will be reversed. The next screen, you are constantly sliding or constantly moving forward. Another stage or another screen in the level, your blaster pellet shot won't go any farther than his blaster. So it completely changes the game because there's still, you know, shit coming at you. So you're dodging and weaving and sliding. The other really neat one was Bright Man stage. So if you remember Bright Man stage, there was two different kinds of robots. One that would make the screen go dark and one that would make it light again. So what he used that same mechanic, but he turned it around a little bit. So now you get the whole screen, but there's only a portion of the screen that you can actually see. So like, you know, you can see the platforms, but you don't know where the enemies are unless if they're in this view that goes across the screen. And shooting one of the robots that flies actually makes it smaller, and shooting the other robot makes it bigger. So you could be cruising around, and all of a sudden, you know, you get attacked out of nowhere. You actually have to jump to see where the enemy is because your viewing screen is only so small.
That sounds so frustrating, yet awesome and fun and challenging.
Yeah, like when I was playing through it, there was a lot of things in the game where I was like, why didn't Capcom think of this? You know, like he took the idea from Mega Man 3 where you could play the copies of the Mega Man 2 characters or the robot bosses. He kind of did the same thing for Wily's Castle, but except he took two different robot bosses and mixed them together. So one of the robot bosses was Gemini Man and Needle Man. So they're shooting needles at you, and there's three copies of him going around the screen.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was just like little things like that. And I was like, why didn't Capcom ever think of this? Like it's
a strange, funny thing because he has the luxury of being able to develop it at his own pace.
True.
Whereas Capcom was like doing things on the fly and having to meet deadlines and having to manufacture cartridges and push things out. And
well, yeah, but I mean, let's take, for instance, like Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10. Like those were fan projects for the guys who worked at Capcom. They didn't really have like a deadline. Was something that they were doing on their own, and they just recreated the exact same game. Yeah. Not to say that's bad. That's awesome. Thank you.
That's a fair critique, though. Like, I mean, I read a review of Call of Duty Ghosts, where it basically said, this is the first game where I feel like all the naysayers are right. Like, it doesn't really go to any new boundary. It's just the same old Call of Duty like last year.
Right.
Now, I haven't played it. I'm just saying what I read, but it's interesting how at what point is it not enough to do the same thing again? And in my opinion, doing the same thing, I think originality is a little overrated. Like I think it's okay to stick to traditional game design mechanics when it works, but when you could just play the prior game and have the same experience, then the new one becomes pointless. You got to have something enough to make it worth buying to have the new experience.
Yeah.
So what that sounds like to me is that developers need to work on the replay value rather than the actual worrying about, you know, that way you won't have to buy the new game every year that it comes out. You know,
sure.
If there's enough replay value to go back and replay it again, that should be able to get you through another couple of years, but you know, while they're working on the new one.
Yeah. And I think there's promise in the independent game scene, indie games, and I think it's kind of like movies now. A lot of people say, oh, Hollywood has no original ideas. But there's always 3 to 4 movies every year that come out. And it's like, whoa, that was really interesting.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. But I don't really... The movie industry is a little bit different because it's so much easier to get noticed. What's the small about?
A little bit different. It's a little bit different. The movie industry is just a little bit different.
Just a little bit different. Yeah.
Go on, though. Sorry.
It's the easier outlets for distribution. All you need is a TV and some source. Whereas indie gaming, it's not as big as it used to be, but back in the day especially, it's like, you know, you had to have the right hardware, you had to have the right drivers. Yeah. You know, and it was a pain in the ass. I mean, let's be honest. Steam streamlined a lot of that, and so did GOG and, you know, Humble Bundle and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's still a ton of indie games out there that nobody's played just because there's not one outlet to watch, you know what I mean? Where every game goes and then you decide from there.
There's no gaming YouTube. I mean, any idiot can go to YouTube and search for something and click play. But it takes a true digital warrior to play through a video game. You have to market to the idiots too, though.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is? Okay.
That's what it is.
Market Jason, to up? The idiots.
So just with your YouTube comment. Anyone can basically put up their video on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
But Steam's going to be rolling out a thing where anyone's going to be able to open up their own kind of sub-store within the Steam kind of framework. So if you're an indie developer, you could do Eric M. Hunter Store, and you could just have your games there, and they'll be for sale on Steam. So it's slightly going in that direction.
Right.
With that accessibility. So I think Steam is kind of hurting people towards that, but I agree. It's not as easy right now.
No,
there's
and
so many outlets.
Yeah. It's not super hard either, though. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No. It's not the toughest, but...
Well, the big thing is reviews. You know, there's so many games that get released that nobody reviews. And nowadays, I mean, yeah, $5, $10 doesn't seem like a lot if you're buying it from Nintendo or Sony or Microsoft or Ubisoft or EA Sports. But from some unknown person who's asking money from you.
Never heard of them. I have no idea.
Yeah, and there's no reviews. There's no, you know, videos or anything like that. Like, that's a harder buy.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. That's why I said it. The juggernaut speaks the truth.
Okay, I think it's time for our listener email discussion. Hey! On that note.
Epic fail.
Hey, listener email discussion question. This is from a first-time emailer and what sounds like a long-time listener. I really like this one. It goes like this. Dear amazing podcasters and Hunter.
Aw, they're still doing that? That's still a joke?
Oh, I like it.
Oh, I like this guy. Just wanted to say you guys keep getting better at this every episode. Been with you guys from the beginning, and I have to say it has been amazing. I can't wait till the episode 100 special. I can't wait even more for the 500th episode. I can only well, that's a conversation for another day. On to my question. At my humble abode, I have many retro systems. But my favorite is probably my special Pokemon edition Nintendo 64. It got me thinking, what in the huge line of special edition consoles is your favorite? As always, thanks to all you guys, you make my life just a little bit happier every week. From your biggest fan, Justin E. Baskin, a.k.a. Jebediah. P.S. Please make an iPhone app.
Get on that, Jason.
It's all you.
I'll get right on that coding. I'll learn it all.
Learn it all. You got time.
Learn it all.
Oh, work at a university. Or is it a college? Which one is it?
It's the university.
Okay, sorry.
Isn't that a house of learning?
Ah, theoretical crappy learning, but learning.
Oh, wow. I'm going to tell him you said that.
You did hear about the hobo that learned to code and sold his own iPhone apps, right?
I'm not a hobo, though. I don't have hobo powers.
Yeah, but okay. I didn't know hobos had powers, so I'm going to leave that one up. Okay, so what was it? Branded consoles? What are we talking about? What's going on?
So special edition console. So, you know, when a company puts out, like, I know Nintendo is notorious for certain, like, Game Boy sets.
Yeah.
Or the hardware comes in a special way, a special release, a special edition.
Yeah.
What's your favorite of all the times companies have ever done that?
Well, I've only owned one, and that was the Wii U Zelda edition. When Wind Waker HD came out, that was actually the only one I've ever bought or owned. But I'll tell you, the one that I really want is the Game Boy Advance SP, I believe, the clamshell one, where it like opens up. There's a old school NES like skin that they released, but I think it was only in like Japan or something like that. I would love to get my hands on that. Like, I wouldn't play it because I've already got a Game Boy SP and a Game Boy Advance and a DS. But I think it'd just be neat, you know, just to have something like that would be kind of cool. But I'll be getting my Legend of Zelda branded 3DS XL tomorrow or Friday when this podcast comes out. So that'll be my second one. But
sounds good.
Yeah. Game Boy Advance SP, NES. Boom.
My question is, does the Genesis 2 count?
No.
Oh,
the Genesis 2.
It does not. Nor does the Genesis 3 or the Nomad.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Hunter.
More like the Mountain Dew version of the original Xbox. You ever seen that one?
Yeah. No, yeah. I haven't seen it, no.
Or the red Game Gear that was branded by Coca-Cola in Japan only.
Japan.
There was a black Dreamcast. I can keep going.
No, but please do. This is enlightening because I haven't heard of half of these. I've heard of some of them, but keep going.
No. Black Dreamcast. There was a red Dreamcast. I don't remember who branded it, but it was a, there was a red one. He mentioned the Pikachu N64, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He says he Pokemon. Has. I assume he's referring to the Hey You Pikachu Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
a pretty cool one. I actually really like the Atomic Purple Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a whole slew of those. Those were
Yeah, they
neat.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even a huge fan of purple by itself, but for some reason, like, that really came together well.
Did that one have the clear case too?
Yes, the trans That was cool.
I remember seeing the watermelon one at Toys R Us back in the day.
That's the one I wish I had.
See, that's the problem with these branded consoles is because they don't come out until months, maybe even years after it's first released.
Right.
I've already got one. I'm not going to buy another one. I mean, now I'll buy another one. But when I was a kid, I wanted first release. You know, I wanted first launch.
Yeah.
Did you see the Luigi... 3DS that the guy made for charity?
No.
Man, that it's pretty cool. Search on Google for it. Just Luigi 3DS XL handheld. He just painted over a regular one, but it's pretty neat. He did a really good job. Jason, we know you don't have consoles.
I don't.
But I do believe that there were branded like video cards back in the day.
There were. I've always wanted the Panasonic Q. The Panasonic Q. When Nintendo released the GameCube, Panasonic manufactured their disk drives. And in that deal, Panasonic somehow convinced Nintendo to license the technology to run GameCube games.
Yeah.
So Panasonic came out with a metal GameCube that could play DVDs and could do like 5.1 audio out and all that stuff. I've always wanted one.
Yeah, I remember that now.
I posted a photo on Twitter I found on Reddit, this rare Japanese, like, one-of-a-kind collector's item. Apparently, this is what I assume the story is, but it's a Sega Genesis controller with shoulder buttons that Sony used to test the place. I'm not sure what the story is, but that was interesting.
They do that quite a bit. I think even the original Xbox was using a PlayStation controller,
yeah,
an N64 controller or something.
That's just so cool to me. Like, I wish I had one of those. Like, it just looks like this freakish Frankenstein's monster abomination.
Yeah.
Like, here's a Nintendo 64 controller with the three handles, but then an Xbox button at the top, but then the Dreamcast, the VMU, and the, you know.
You should build one.
I'll get right on that. I will apart three controllers and duct tape them together and be like, ta-da! Internet fame!
Because it doesn't have to look good, right? You just gotta do it.
That's pretty much the theme of my life. I don't have to look good, I just have to do it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
Well,
did Jason ever answer?
You do have to look good doing it.
The Panasonic Q, is that really what we're going with?
Yeah,
here,
either
Jason?
The Panasonic Q or the Japanese-only Game Boy Light Skeleton.
Ah!
I don't remember that one either.
It's like a Game Boy Color, but see-through. It's made of clear plastic. You could see all the insides.
Oh yeah, they made one like that for the Game Boy. The Game Boy Pocket. Yeah.
But I always thought that was cool.
Is it backlit? I guess is why the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were. Yeah. Yep. That actually is a nice one.
Yeah.
That we're talking about now. Cool.
Well, they're not even on eBay.
Yeah, they only made 5,000.
Oh yeah, they did a Pikachu Yellow Limited Edition Game Boy 2 color. That was pretty cool looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah, dude. Nintendo was huge on that stuff. I mean,
they weren't they?
They were smart doing it. Yeah. I mean, it was worth. I remember when the Xbox 360 came out, it was like a month or two later. They released. I don't think it was a remade 360 console, but it was like the shell. You could swap the shells out. And it was a Halo 3. That had Master Chief like up against the side of the console, and there was like trees and stuff that like a little I don't even know what you'd call it, just like a little platform the console would sit on and make it look like really organic. It was kind of cool. I never owned a 360, so.
Well, even now with the Xbox One, the one that's being pushed onto shelves is black.
Yeah.
But the developers got the white one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying that actually looks much cooler.
Yeah.
We got the white Xbox controller. That's pretty slick.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the consoles are black. That's, you know, black's overdone, man. Genesis was black. I mean,
white is the new black.
Yeah.
Now,
pretty much.
Right? Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, I usually go for white if I can, like when it comes to like cell phones and stuff, just because it feels different. Because I'm so used to having black electronics, you know?
Yep.
But
down with the black electronics. You're approaching.
We're approaching racism. Dangerous levels. Oh, man.
I gotta watch where this recording goes.
Well, hopefully, I talked sure enough to piss off. Left. What's his face? I don't even remember his name. That's what I think of him.
Way to go, aka Jebediah.
Jebediah.
Jebediah. Shibbidi-bop-bop-a-doo.
Boo.
Thanks for your question, Justin E. Baskin. Anyone else wants to ask us something, you can email podcast@onemorecastle.com and we chat about it on air.
Give it up.
Music break. Back. That was Title 8-bit version by Fatnik, an 8-bit track off the Attack of the Terrible Lizard Kitty video game official soundtrack. Fatnik is a longtime friend of the podcast, so happy to feature your stuff again, sir. That's a fun little 8-bit chip tune, by the way. Speaking of fun, it's time for the best part of any podcast that's ever existed. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where, if you don't know, each of us co-hosts has chosen a different retro game, and we've done it secretly. We haven't told each other what game we've chosen. And it fits a theme. And we'll have 1 minute to reveal what we chose, and we're going to spend the rest of the show arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the trio on a poll on the podcast page. So please, on onemorecastle.com, on the podcast episode page, vote in the poll, leave comments, have fun. Now, two episodes ago, for episode 61, looks like our theme was cosplay, so video games that feature characters we would love to dress up as, given the chance. And the winner was... me! With Mega Man! Beaten up on X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Adam's Family 1074. Congratulations, me! Good work with Mega Man. What a pick. That's
lame.
A great choice.
We're all so happy for you.
You deserve
so
tonight,
happy.
Tonight we have a new theme, games with dinosaurs in them. So dinosaur games is our theme tonight. I'm excited. This is good. Yep. Yeah, dinosaurs. Oh, I can't believe we didn't do this one sooner. This is such a good category.
It's great category.
Oh, Hunter's not excited at all.
He should be.
Okay. What?
All right. What?
What? What? Oh, well, traditionally, I go first. Traditionally. Jason's the timekeeper. All
right.
So, Jason, whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
I sit here I've looking got... pretty.
I've got a minute on the clock. You may begin.
So, last week, kind of improvisationally, me and Jason, because of Hunter's absence, went with the theme of games with hunters. And so I picked Turok Dinosaur Hunter, despite having planned to pick that for dinosaur games. So this week I couldn't pick that, but I'm actually kind of glad that happened because I get to reveal this wonderful game. It's an NES title from 1993 by Virgin Interactive. It features music by Tommy Tallarico. It is... Color a Dinosaur. Oh, Color a Dinosaur. Finally, a game that allows you to unleash your creativity. The whole theme of the game is purely dinosaurs and your ability to color them. It's all dinosaurs. And the game is not racist. You can make any color dinosaur you want, and it will have no more or less worth than another dinosaur of a different color. It's Color a Dinosaur fighting racism for 20 years.
Wow.
Fighting racism.
That's something.
Fighting racism.
Yeah.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
Oh, yep.
You may begin.
My pick for this week's showdown is Dinosaurs for Hire for the Sega Genesis. Three words, dinosaurs with guns. And that's it. That's all I got. Dinosaurs with guns.
Woo! Okay.
All right. I guess I'll begin. Going on the theme of dinosaurs with guns, I'm kicking it old school this week. That is, I brought a mod. That's right, it's Barney Doom, where every enemy in Doom has been replaced with Barney. Not only can you perfectly enjoy Doom, you can blow up Barney in many different situations. That's Doom Barney for the PC.
Doom Barney.
Is that the quickest we've ever introduced all three of our games?
I think it is.
Yeah, probably.
I took a minute, then each of you took about 10 seconds or less. That's great. That's
how this works.
Guys. Way to go. I'm glad one of us is committed to this format. You know, I'm glad one of us...
Hey, if my game needed more of an introduction, I would have given it. Dinosaurs with guns. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's it.
Okay. Hunter, I have so many questions.
Excellent. Dinosaurs with guns. That is the answer.
Well, actually, my question is about the dinosaurs. And the
guns. Okay. All right. They have guns.
So, right.
And they are dinosaurs.
Right. And, well, see, I hear that. I hear that. But, what kind of dinosaurs are they?
There's a varying... kinds of dinosaurs. There's Stegosaurus, Pterodactyl, Triceratops. Those are the three that you can choose from.
What kinds of guns do these types of dinosaurs have?
All kinds of guns. So you start off with just your regular, kind of like a plasma rifle kind of a gun, and then you can upgrade it to go for like a spread shot or a, you know, like a flame gun, that kind of thing. It's very Contra-esque.
I knew that was coming.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
So, I like talking about video games because you can say things like, you start off with, you know, your usual regular little old plasma gun.
Right.
You know, the plasma rifle that all of us have sitting in our closet at home.
Yeah.
The normal, everyday little buy it at Walmart.
Correct.
Plasma rifle.
Yes.
Yeah. Black Friday deal.
Okay. Yeah. It's coming up.
Right. Black Friday.
Ammo costs extra.
Plasma rifles.
So, you know.
So, why do these dinosaurs have guns?
Why don't these dinosaurs have guns?
And why do they have sunglasses?
There. Only one has sunglasses. The other one is actually wearing an eye patch because he only has one eye. So they've seen battle and they have survived. Dinosaurs for hire with guns.
Who's hiring them?
Whoever needs them.
So they're like, they're just vigilante, murderous, gun-toting dinosaurs.
Oh, they're using the guns? Like, that's the reason they're hired? They're not, like, plumbers or chefs?
No, they are dinosaurs for hire who have guns. Dinosaurs with guns. So,
but the guns have to be used.
Said that in the intro. Maybe I missed
on
it.
On the job that they get hired for.
Correct. They get like, hired to kill people.
Are they... Oh.
Correct. Yeah, so let's say that the U.S. government could have hired the dinosaurs for hire to take out Osama bin Laden. They would have done it with guns.
Okay, now I'm with you. Now,
okay.
We're making sense.
Yes, we are.
That's, wow, dinosaurs with guns for hire.
For hire.
Really? Yeah, the dinosaurs who get hired have the guns.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why they're getting hired.
That is correct. Now, I will say it is a little... misleading because they're actually aliens that have made themselves look like dinosaurs when they're on Earth.
So I have to ask.
So you're disqualified this week.
Yeah, they're not dinosaurs.
Well, no, they are dinosaurs.
No, Jason. Jason gets to speak. Let Jason speak.
They're not dinosaurs.
Okay.
That's like saying my toaster is a robot. Yeah, it's made of metal and uses electricity. But it's not a robot. It's a toaster.
It's like saying my cantaloupe is a washing machine. You know, just because they're both made of particles and exist in this universe and have weight and mass and are able to be touched and can't count to three doesn't mean they're the same thing.
But gotcha. with your logic, Hunter, I'm going to say... I'm craving...
With my logic.
With your logic, I'm craving a dishwasher to eat.
Good.
I just like the phrase, with your logic, Hunter. I feel like Logic Hunter should be a game starring Eric Hunter.
There you go.
He's looking for logic. It's just around the corner.
Makes sense to me. Still dinosaurs. Still got guns.
That's still a trump card. It's going to be tough to beat. I'll give you that.
So
let's talk about...
Yes, color a dinosaur.
I have to say that's your most Jason-esque pick you've brought.
What makes you say that? That's interesting. Why do you say that?
It's such a...
Because it's not a game?
No, it's because it's kind of a joke.
Well, okay, here's the... Yeah, I mean, it kind of brings up the argument. Is this a game? Is it not a game? Is it an interactive coloring book? Which I'm all down for. I think coloring books are great. I love coloring books still to this day. I think they're awesome. But it's not a game.
But you can do things and color a dinosaur you can't do with a coloring book.
Like?
Such as?
You can apply patterns uniformly across the colorscape.
Still doesn't make it a game, though. So it's an advanced coloring book.
Do you know the definition of a game?
I do.
It's a game.
This game, it has a goal you can work toward. You can fail. You can succeed. It fights racism.
All right.
That's your definition of a game.
Let's get back to that again.
No. That's not like the only thing a game can do, but this is a game that does that.
Wait, I need one more no. Just one more. Give it to me.
No.
Thank you.
That was a Monty Python reference.
Yeah.
No, Jason, you got a question? I don't know. I mean, it fights racism. My game is better than your guys' games because it has social justice involved. It actually does good for humankind.
So does mine.
No, yeah, dude, it doesn't. My game's got ninjas in it.
My game meant to kill Barney.
Are they really ninjas or are they cyborgs dressed up as ninjas?
Yeah,
really
that's another problem.
No, they're... What, you don't think the Foot Clan are ninjas?
No, they're robots.
I can't trust any character in your game anymore, Hunter. I don't know who they are or what they are.
They're old toasters.
They're dinosaurs with guns. I thought
what?
I said
they're
that
aliens
in the intro.
Why would I want to play a game in which they've intentionally put Barney into it? Why would I want to play that?
Because you
here's
to
the
remove
creepy thing.
Barney from it.
No. Here's the creepy thing about Barney Doom. Is not only is there a sprite swap for one of the, I think it's the soldier, of Barney, you are also Barney.
Yeah, the one true Barney.
So you're killing other Barneys.
That's off. I hate Barney. Like Barney's
it's
annoying.
Genocide.
Like
it's genocide.
No, it's technically suicide because you are Barney.
But here's the thing. You told me I could remove Barney from the game, but I get the feeling there's more than one Barney in this game.
There are.
Yes.
But see, that sucks. I don't want
you can remove
I want
him
one Barney.
Over
I want to shoot him in the
over.
Face. Game over. Congratulations. You helped fight
you
racism.
You know what? I can mock up a WAD file for you just
racism.
With one enemy.
Mine does.
Just
that
with one
great.
Barney.
But did you do that?
I can.
I'm not asking if you can. I could poop gold, but it's not going to happen
then
tonight.
Then why?
So it doesn't really matter.
Why don't you?
Why? I didn't eat the right stuff to poop. You have to eat a lot of gold.
I was going to say, do you have to eat gold to poop gold?
You have to
that's
eat a lot,
okay.
Yeah.
Because
like
I also cannot digest corn. So it's, you know.
Corn is not the same thing as gold. It's very easy to find, purchase, eat, and poop corn. Why are you talking about poop? I'm sorry. This podcast is the opposite of sophisticated, and I feel ashamed. I feel like we should go back to the cutting edge, highbrow commentary we used to have and approach topics like racism.
But
what? No. We don't. Okay, so. So here's what I'm curious about.
Bring it.
Is what does. What's his last name? Tommy.
Tallarico.
What is he? How does he feel about doing the music for Color a Dinosaur?
I should ask him sometime. Because
I meant, like, is there any kind of review out there that he had mentioned doing the music? Or because I mean, he did Earthworm Jim, and
he's listed in the credits for Color a Dinosaur. Like, he's prominent. Like, his name is like.
So how do you even get to the credits if this isn't really a game?
Oh, it is a game. I'm trying to tell you, it is a game. It's totally a game.
You can't even save in Color a Dinosaur.
Yeah, you can't print either.
What happens if I was a kid and, you know, my mom was like at work and babysitter was taking care of me and I colored a really cool dinosaur in the lines for the first time and I couldn't save to show my mom?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you did that, what, like 6 months ago? It's the first time you colored in the lines?
Yeah. It's tough.
Two answers for you. Answer number one, how better to teach our young people the ethereal, effervescent nature of creative expression than by making it temporally weak?
Oh, I want to throw something at
and
you.
And fade away. Number two,
wait, what was
take
that first
a picture.
Big word you used?
Yeah. It will last longer.
Yeah, man, everybody's got cameras on their phones now. Just take a photo. I mean, that's
boom.
That's,
yeah.
That's how I save passwords now when I'm playing NES games. I just take a picture on my phone.
Jeez, yeah. I'm creeps.
Now, can you use the mouse with this?
The what?
Can you what?
The NES. Was there a NES mouse?
No, you just use a controller, dude.
That's awful.
Yeah, no, use a directional pad.
Ugh.
It's the greatest
mouse
ever.
Did you just say the NES controller is awful? Did you just say that?
No, it's awful for coloring.
Well, apparently not, because Color a Dinosaur, you can color those dinosaurs in pretty good. They don't even touch the line.
That's like me cutting off my hands and trying to draw.
It would have been
okay,
more
hold
clever.
On. It's nothing
would have been
like
more
that.
Clever
how could
you if
even
you
say
had
that?
Said something like, it's like cutting off my hand with
an axe,
a pumpkin. Well, no, an axe is really good at cutting off hands. For your analogy to work,
a mackerel,
been something that in
cutting off my hands with a mackerel.
With a mackerel, gotcha.
It's just like drawing on the NES with a controller. That would have made more sense and been funnier. Yeah. But what do I know? I don't.
Sorry.
So, did Barney Doom ever get finished?
What's your definition of finished?
Don't eat Jason.
Well, I mean, if you're going to animate the main character box when he's attacking, you'd think you'd do all of them, not just like one or two.
Yeah.
Like this mod does. It's unfinished. It's an unfinished mod is what it is. So not only is A, it's not a game because mods aren't games. Two, it's not even a finished mod.
Oh, it's a finished mod.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm finished with this line of questioning. Jason, right. I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's on your shirt? Can you just stand up and show us what's on your shirt?
Oh, it's the Communist Party. There it is. They're partying. It's the Communist Party. There's Stalin. Hold on. There's Lenin. There's Marx. There's Mao. And there's Castro. And they're all drinking and having a party.
So it's the Communist Party.
Yeah, it's the Communist Party.
Right. Now, see, Jason, you revealing your shirt was more fun than playing your game could ever be.
Well, see, that's not true because it's Doom.
Yeah.
Doom is the game. Doom's a great game.
Thank you.
That's why I'm saying that mods are
games.
Don't
encourage him. You're gonna encourage him to pick a great game and a stupid, goofy mod.
It's not even
finished. I'll win every week.
It's not even finished.
Eric Hunter says, it's a great game. I'm Eric Hunter.
You know what? I'm going to say
I am
my
Eric
mod
Hunter. Thank you.
Is more of a game than Color My Dinosaur.
That I will agree with.
Thank you.
It's called Color a Dinosaur, not Color My Dinosaur.
Whatever.
Calling it Color My Dinosaur makes it weirdly intimate and creepy, okay? It's not Color My Dinosaur.
I'd prefer...
I would rather have my dinosaurs with guns.
I prefer to color my dinosaur.
My dinosaur.
Okay, but although then again, if we're talking about being creepy intimate, I do have to say Jason in his description did say, and I quote, "You can blow Barney in many different situations."
Oh, come
that
on!
That was awkward.
That's below the belt.
That was going too far.
No, that it's
you have
no.
to go all the way.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't have to go there with Barney at all. You just let him walk away.
Why do you even want to kill Barney?
Because he's
What's
Barney.
What's wrong with Barney?
Calls? Why don't you?
You bought him dinner once. You thought, here's this famous Hollywood guy, Barney.
Yeah.
You know, don't let yourself get taken advantage of like that.
You know
that.
What? I mean, met Barney once.
We all did. We were children. He's kind of a creepo.
You know, in your imagination.
No,
yeah.
In real life, I met Barney.
Super duper. Oh,
the
guy.
Did you kick him in the balls?
Yeah.
And said, "I killed you in a Doom mod that wasn't even finished. That technically isn't even a game because it's Doom." Yeah, that's what I would have told him.
No, no, Hunter, don't you know Jason only kicks people in the balls if they create Mega Man ROM hacks?
Oh,
you mean Mega Man mods?
Yeah, right.
No, the ROM hacks.
Are we gonna have this debate again? Are we gonna please? Round one, Hunter in this corner, Jason in that one. Mods versus ROM hacks.
The same thing.
Round one.
I don't
go,
know,
ding.
Barney. His left arm's a little low. It's going to hurt him in the later rounds.
Now let's have a good, clean fight, gentlemen. No funny
ding,
stuff.
No, no, no.
Don't bite him like you did last time.
No hitting below the belt.
Bye. We already went below the belt.
But no, seriously, why would you want to kill Barney? I mean,
Barney.
As a legitimate
Barney's
question.
Lame.
Because he's annoying. He's annoying.
Is he? He's for
yes.
kids.
He was annoying
that's
as a kid.
Why he's annoying?
He's
Anything
annoying now.
Kids,
he wasn't annoying when you were a kid.
Yeah,
no,
he was.
No, listen. No, listen. This is the way it works. Anything made for children is annoying unless it's Color a Dinosaur.
Oh, that's not
fighting
true.
Fighting racism.
That's not true.
It's a free pass.
I will say this. I did not experience Color a Dinosaur during my childhood, and I'm so thankful that I did not.
Yeah,
me
too.
I probably would not
High
be playing
five
video
on
games
one.
Today. Would not be playing video games today if I had
I'd
played
still be
Color
playing
Dinosaur.
Them. I had, yeah, maybe that was your only game. You're like, well, this is really weird. I don't. Why would I want to fight racism all day? But it's nice in like those little periods where you want to fight racism. Like,
what does the race? Why do you keep bringing up the racism?
Because it's such a great feature. What other game fights racism?
Well, lots of games.
Yeah, lots of.
Name one.
Well, to kind of go into the same theory of fighting racism that you do, Mario Paint.
But in Mario Paint, the goal is never explicitly to equally distribute colors among characters. It's just, you can just do whatever. Yeah.
No, they have coloring book pages of Mario and Yoshi, and you can color Mario whatever color you want.
If you get to say that Mario Paint fights racism, then I, as the Sega fan in this discussion, get to say that Wacky Worlds on Sega Genesis fights racism.
Well, it's true racism is all I...
No, that doesn't make any sense either.
Yes, because you can the stamps, you can color them. Absolutely. Have you ever played Wacky Worlds?
Yes.
Yeah,
Tiny Toon Movie Studio was better.
No.
Yeah.
I've played both, and Mario Paint's better than both of them. So.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. You actually get a mouse.
You can compose a. You got a mouse with Wacky. Did you ever play Wacky World? Do you got a mouse?
Not
with
the
too?
Mouse. I didn't. No.
Really?
Yeah.
You're missing out, dude.
Yeah, totally missing out.
Missing out. You're missing out.
Jason, what are you
doing? He's fighting racism. What's it look
like? I'm painting a dinosaur online.
And
with
fighting
this
racism.
Wonderful game I found on thecolor.com. I'm obviously fighting racism.
Okay,
thank you for your courage, Jason.
You're welcome.
You can interpret this as me playing a character, being sincere, however you want to, but I have to say, for better or for worse, it took me a few seconds to realize you weren't playing Color of Dinosaur.
Wow. See, that's how shitty your game is.
Man, at least when I say like, dinosaurs with guns, I know it's Dinosaurs for Hire.
Yeah, it was just, I typed in color a dinosaur online, and there were multiple links, and it was...
Well, of course there are.
Yeah, it's, let's go to gamesgames.com, dinosaur coloring.
It's such a simple concept,
yeah.
Unlike dinosaurs with guns, because technically it's never been done since.
Hey, Eric's
or ever
wife.
Again.
Yeah.
She just poked me
Jurassic,
in the armpit.
Jurassic Park has dinosaurs and guns.
Dinosaurs with.
Right, the movie has them both, so it's with guns. It's a dinosaur movie with guns. The dinosaurs with guns.
Maybe that's what they're going to do in Jurassic Park 4.
They're going to give the dinosaurs guns.
Give the raptors machine guns and Uzis.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch it, too.
I would, too.
I'd definitely watch it.
I'd watch it with you guys.
We should do this. We should make our own version when we're down in Indiana.
With Barney.
Or wherever I'm going.
You know, a lot of bananas.
Coconuts.
Dinosaurs.
Put the lime in the coconut.
Mix it all together.
And you shoot it with a gun that a dinosaur's holding. Boom!
That's how you make a cocktail.
Hokey pokey. That's what it's all about.
You too.
I didn't bring a drink tonight, so I'm just going to have to sip from this.
Is that a hard drive?
It is. It's a dead hard drive.
Is it dead because it's out of your computer?
It's not. It's just... It's several years old. It's from a computer I used to have at work at my former job. It's demonic. It had crazy viruses that even, like, the people we paid to do our IT were like, whoa, you need to, like, this thing is, like, decaying. Like, your hard drive is deteriorating.
What was the last thing you downloaded? Barney Doom?
They let me keep it.
Were you coloring dinosaurs?
I didn't. I promise. My use of that work computer was so innocuous. I have no... I think it really did just... Something in there broke or deteriorated or something. It's just... Because I had...
Innocuous.
It would...
Not harmful or
and now
offensive.
It's, you know, the shape... I'll try and not use pretentious words next time.
I hope you do. I need a word of the day calendar.
This is learning hour for Hunter.
But now I use the hard drive as a cup holder.
Awful games that no one should play.
Barney Doom.
Oh, wow. NintendoLegend.com. Color a dinosaur. 0.5 stars.
I was hoping we could go the retro showdown without mentioning this.
Nintendo Legend. Is it Dash Legend?
Maybe.
No, no, no.
Maybe.
He was quick enough to get the URL, but not the Twitter handle.
Mm. That hurts. Ooh, like
low blow. Low blow. Much.
Oh, gosh. Oh, guys. Ouch. I think it's time for final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for aliens with guns?
It's dinosaurs for hire.
It's not their aliens. It's aliens.
They are dinosaurs.
They're not dinosaurs.
They look
aliens.
Like
they're,
dinosaurs. They're act dinosaur like dinosaurs. Shaped am I going to get my dinosaur. Final argument or what?
Nope.
Dinosaurs with guns.
Masterful argument. Now, Jason, why should anyone vote for Doom Barney?
I'll say 2 points. One, it's Doom Barney. And two, it never had the review that stated, at worst, Color of Dinosaur is a misguided, ill-advised, naive, shallow, not fun video non-game with no replay value whatsoever. That's from NintendoLegend.com.
For the full review, which you can
about
read
Barney
here.
Doom?
Yeah.
Oh, guy's got good reviews.
Pimping out NintendoLegend.com so much tonight.
Too bad he hasn't done one in how long?
He's not even a real... You're really...
Oh, that was good.
I post reviews every week, so...
I mean, the Twitter thing was bad enough, but then you had to... Okay.
No, the Twitter thing was clever. That's what it was. It was clever.
So it started out clever and then went to mean eventually. That's
welcome back, bitches!
Welcome back, Eric Hunter. We missed you. You can only be mean to Jason for so long, you know.
That's right. You can only make so many Canadian jokes. And then it's just
so
sad.
My
it's
final
funny,
argument
sad.
Is that, look, Hunter ultimately is right, I will confess. Color a Dinosaur was designed for children. And like he said, that makes it awesome, not terrible. And I think what better thing can we teach our children early?
Oh, God.
To fight racism. There it is. My game actually has the moral high ground.
Fighting racism since 1988.
93.
Ooh, 93. So it was a late release and it looks like that?
It was...
Wow.
It was a late July 93. I mean, it was a...
It actually hurts a little bit. It hurts my soul. Especially when you got games like Kirby's Adventure, which is, like, beyond belief stellar when it comes to NES hardware.
If you really want your mind blown, this is something I found out when I was comparing my game choices. Color a Dinosaur... hold up. I want to make sure I get this right. You can edit this dead space out of the actual...
No, we'll fill it. Jason, says, tell us some American jokes that you know of.
Knock, knock.
No.
Who's there?
An American.
American who?
In your country.
Nice.
Okay, that was good.
I was waiting for like an eagle screech is what I was waiting for.
Okay. This is incredible to me. Color a Dinosaur came out less... than 4 years before Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
Wow.
They only came out 3.5 years apart.
Who was the developer?
Is it like a monkey they paid and like crack cocaine?
Wait, I hear that monkey all the time. Is he bad?
It's some weird named, I don't remember, some like fancy hoity-toity. Farsight Technologies, I believe, is the developer.
Emphasizing on technology.
They did Primetime NFL starring Deion Sanders on Sega Genesis.
Wait, what's it called again?
Farsight Technologies.
Sight. I put Farsight and I got a lot of cool...
I don't enunciate.
They are now Farsight Studios.
Ooh, look at them.
Oh, wow. Action 52.
Well, that they did the Genesis.
Still Action 52, man.
Awesome.
That's
they did
our showdown.
Brunson's
that's
Pro
our
bowling.
Showdown. They did...
A lot of sports games.
Yeah. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_Legend. And NintendoLegend.com may or may not be one of the websites I have something to do with.
I think it is. Don't let him fool you. He's a sneaky.
Hunter, you have any plugs or shout outs?
Yeah, whatever? You can follow me on Twitter as well, Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. And if you want to hear more of my lovely voice, me and Mr. Tom Hall now have a new podcast on official VGHC.com called Breaking Bits.
What? Really?
We do. It's a cool. We did our first episode was released 2 days ago. It's an hour and a half long.
Nice.
But we talk about all kinds of gaming stuff. New stuff, old stuff. We talk about news. We do a review. Funny eBay stuff that we find. So if my voice enchants you to do things, one of those things should be to download the Breaking Bits podcast on official VGHC.com. In transmission.
If you find my voice persuasive and alluring.
Alluring.
Alluring. Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb.
But why would you want to? Oh!
And that's hilarious.
I'll give a shout out to the real Ghostbusters.
Hey, the cartoon or the comic book?
Both.
That's a good question.
Or the video game?
We'll say the cartoon.
No. Good. Whew, saved yourself there, Jason. It's a wise decision.
Wait, the comic book wasn't that bad.
My bearded Canadian. I never read the comic book. I was just saying the video game.
It's awful. Like super duper goofy to the point of like you kind of get bored. You see the jokes coming, kind of slapstick. It's the art's really cool though.
Well, speaking of the art being really cool, I'd like to remind everyone that our podcast does live stream every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central. We tweet the link from One More Castle on Twitter, as opposed to somewhere else you would tweet. Another reminder, the One More Castle podcast, or the One More Podcastle, is now on Stitcher. So we're still on iTunes, we're still on onemorecastle.com, but we're on Stitcher now, so that's cool. And we might as well start telling people that we're planning, the three of us, on making an appearance for the first time together in real life in the same room at Indie PopCon, which is a convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. I think that happens in May, right?
It's the last month. It's the last weekend in May that runs into June 1st.
Yeah, so if you want to meet us, that would be a prime chance. Yeah. I will finally get to stroke Jason's beard.
Oh, we're all stroking in his beard.
Oh, yeah.
And his back hair.
Oh, yeah.
So we are braiding your back hair, Jason.
Sweet.
I can't wait.
Can't wait either.
Oh, can't wait.
I'm going to have to
grow some
back
hair. Did anybody
else
notice that he now has a full beard after 2 weeks of shaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That is... Is that like some sort of hormone you get when you live in Canada? It's like insta beard?
What happens when you're raised by seals?
Do seals have beards?
No. Yeah, that's what they're known for, yeah. You know. They're
I thought they were known for the clubs.
Beards.
I love this song.
That won't be nearly as funny as the audio-only version of this podcast. But that was a wonderful...
Use your imagination.
Use your imagination, but not too far.
Go totally far.
Yeah. Send us emails at podcast@onemorecastle.com, even if it's just comments and not discussion questions. And listeners, most importantly, at least within this limited context of your media experience, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!